He had tried and tried to get a clearer picture of the third man, but the interference due to the lightning was really bad. He once more got out one of the several one-credit banknotes he had managed to procure and studied the picture. But he could not be sure it was the same man. It was useless to call in a technician again. He had already done that. He let the signal decode into running visual again and spin forward. Then there came this second car. Truck. A small figure leaping out holding some sort of weapon. The small figure racing forward to attack. It didn't really look like an attack. The man behind the rock might have thought it was an attack. Then the firing. He skimmed through the battle. Yes, it really must be the one on the banknote. What a perfectly poor transmission. They were usually so clear. Then the car, followed by horses, and the man getting up on the car and talking to a crowd and holding the small body. This was where he had to have clarity, and he didn't have it. The vocal was so interrupted by the lightning that it was just sparks. Only a few bits came through. The picture showed arms being broken out, but not used. Was it a plea for no war by the man on the car? Who had that small body been to cause all this? A prince of a reigning sovereign? Well, thankfully, the infrabeam transmission from the island country was better, and the speech there came strong and clear, and it promised a war. But against whom? Why? It was the same man. The ship he had gotten into had been carefully tracked as it went over the pole of the planet. One could not be absolutely sure, however, that it was the same man as on the banknote. Firelight was a very long band and almost went off the bottom of the infrabeam spectrum. The small gray man sighed again. He could not be sure at all. Not sure enough for a vital critical analysis. He was just reaching for another pill when a light blinked from the people up on the flight deck. There was nothing much to do while in orbit, and a warning signal was a rarity. He tapped a button to light a screen and get the picture being relayed to him. And then he looked out the port. Ah, yes. He had half expected this. A war vessel. There it was, settling into orbit near them. Bright and shining against the black sky. Always unnecessarily dramatic, these war vessels. Let's see. Diamond with a slash. The insignia of the Tulnips. He had wondered when they would arrive. He flittered a rolling, lighted list in a round indicator on his desk. Tulnip. Tulnip war cruisers. Did that one out there have a diamond-shaped bridge? Yes. Vulcor class. Vulcor. Specifications. Ah, here it was.
List weight 2,000 tons, solar-powered, main battery 64, Maxon blast cannons.
How dull, these endless specifications. Who cared about the number of blast-tight bulkheads? Ah.
Complement 524 Tulnip Marines, 63 operating crew.
Goodness, wouldn't one think that the computer clerks would realize the important items one would really want?
Commanded by a half-captain, autonomous authority over local tactical conditions, but without authority over strategic decisions.
That was what the small gray man was looking for.